W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling. From the Darling New Media Studios, this is the WTH Podcast.
Howdy, howdy, and welcome into another episode of the WTH Podcast. Kareem is in studio with me.
What the hell?
Jason is not here, but he did call in. So we'll be hearing from him in just a bit. He's in New York, upstate, way upstate.
He's north south.
He's up there, but apparently, I don't know if he missed the hot weather, but back there it was super hot and humid.
It was like, I think my mom said she thought saw the devil begging for ice cream.
Yeah, it was like 85 to 90 degrees in Vermont, and I talked to my dad a little earlier, and he said the cold front went through north to south, so yeah. He was doing all right at that point, but he had a couple of warm days. So, not sure what Jason got of that. We'll check in with him next week and really see, aside from the messages, but we'll get to all of that. Plus, we've got somebody smuggling what? Where?
Huh?
Exactly. Donald Trump crashes a wedding.
Oh, God.
And Rand Paul proves that Kentucky sends terrible people to the Senate.
He's a piece of shit to the highest degree.
He's, yeah, we'll talk about all of that. But before we do, Kareem, how was your week?
Oh, my gosh. My week was a roller coaster ride.
Was it? I know you had some family stuff you were dealing with.
Yeah, so starting from being here last Monday.
Right.
During our show, I got a call that my brother was in ICU for congestive heart failure. So they had to sedate him and drain 3 liters of fluid off of his lung or heart or wherever.
Damn.
The hell that comes from. Glad to report, last time I talked to him, he was better. I think they should be releasing him sometime the next day or so.
Well, that is fantastic news, especially from where it came from.
Yeah. And then, so it went from that to my godson having a baby.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. So I'm a god grandparent, I think.
I don't know if that's a thing, but
like his mom said I was. So
it is if you make it a thing.
Yeah. So she made it a thing. So that happened. And then my Sacramento mom had a double mastectomy on Friday. That went about as well as to be expected. Got a little worried there for a minute because she didn't wake up for like 3 hours.
Ooh.
And they told us it would be like 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, I'm starting to get a little worried now. But she has a heart murmur and she's 76 years old.
Okay.
So, and then one of my nieces got married on Saturday. So.
Wow.
It was. Oh, yeah. And then. There was a fucking Klan rally in my hometown.
Oh yeah, that's right. The president spoke in your hometown.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my week. So it was up and down, and then that bastard.
It's a lot going on. I of course as always spent a lot of time here.
Yeah.
we are getting closer and closer to being open to the public.
Cool.
We're booking things. So if you have podcasting needs, reach out, get in touch, and we can hook you up. But right now we're in what's called a soft opening. So we've got a lot to do. The space is getting, there's still 2 scaffoldings sitting in the outer office.
Yeah.
There's still sheetrock dust in places, but the painting is done.
Yes.
So that's the good news.
And you got that, thing off the wall.
We got the thing on the wall. We got the thing off the wall, and then we got another thing on the wall. Yeah, so it was a lot of the old sign came down off the wall so we could finish painting, and we have a new installation of cubes on another wall, which we put up on Sunday, which was an 11-hour day of going to IKEA and then putting it together and putting it on the wall. Because of how we designed it to go on the wall.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of cubes of different, well, they're the same size, they're different depths. So when you put them next to each other, you get a very 3D sort of looking thing. But when you want to have them next to each other, getting everything measured out so it's in the right place can be painstaking, especially when you're doing it with my father-in-law, who wants to get it done right. People of that generation want to do things right no matter how long it takes.
Yes.
They don't want to take the chance. They don't want to throw caution to the wind.
No.
So it does take a long time, but it's up. It looks fantastic. And it's my wife's vision come to life, and I couldn't be happier with it because it looks amazing.
It does. It makes the place not look like a man cave.
Yeah, it does not. There's no man cave here. So we're a fun place for all of us. So a lot of stuff like that going on. Of course, Jason has trundled off to meet his wife and children and in-laws in upstate New York. And I said, hey, why don't you give us a call here at the WTH podcast, as I encourage everyone to do. But people, you know, only so many people have made the call. Give us a call. I forget what the number is right now off the top of my head. Let me go over here. And oh no, that's his number.
Yeah.
I can't look at his number. That won't help me. That will not help me. That doesn't show me either. I should know it off the top of my head, but we don't mention it that often. So I do not. Let me call. It's right at the top of WTHpod.com. It's 916-281-9390. 281-9390. And just call in and say, Dear Casey. Or do what Jason did and call in and this is what he's got going on.
Yo, what up, freaks? This is your boy, Jason. Just calling you from Chameau, New York, off of Chameau Bay, Lake Ontario. You know, so my grievance this week, man. Oh, man.
Oh, that's right. I said call in with your grievance. So that will be coming up on Monday's show. We'll get to hear the rest of Jason's grievance.
Yes. Let's not jump ahead.
He called twice.
Did he?
Yeah, he called twice. So we'll go ahead and get to all of those on Monday's show. But yeah, Jason checking in from Chameau, New York. Chameau, New York. I love the transcription in Google Voice that tries to spell it, but it did a pretty decent job.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the, oh God, I hate the ad blockers. God, there we go. Yes, Kareem, your eyes are not deceiving you. So in Canada, there was a double murder, and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police streamed a press conference live with the cat filter activated.
Wow.
Royal Canadian Mounted Police in British Columbia have now apologized after live streaming a press conference on the murder of an American woman and an Australian man on Facebook Live with an augmented reality cat filter turned on. According to BuzzFeed News, Sergeant Janelle Shohet said during the conference on Friday that police had determined the deaths of 24-year-old North Carolina woman China Noelle Deese and her 23-year-old Australian boyfriend Lucas Robertson Fowler were suspicious. The couple was found shot and killed. That is suspicious.
Yeah.
Near their 1986 Chevy van alongside Highway 97 on July 15th, with Canadian authorities calling for anyone who saw the couple, the van, or were in the area at the time to contact them for help with the investigation. Now, according to the Daily Beast, the British Columbia division of the RCMP apologized after leaving the cat filter on during the broadcast.
Wow. I actually saw a story about the murder, not knowing about the cat filter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the story itself not funny. The RCMP said on Twitter that they had accidentally left on an automatic setting. So not a funny story, but yeah, she's standing up there at the podium with the cat ears and the cat nose, and yeah. They replied to a tweet saying, "We're aware and we're addressing it. It is an automatic setting. Thank you. We will rectify and issue a video shortly." So they have put out a video without the cat filter, and they have apologized.
Wow.
But yeah. So why does everyone hire someone straight out of college to run their social media? This is why. Because when you don't, you end up with the cat filter on, and no one's looking at it.
Yeah. Nobody's like, what?
Exactly. That's the other thing. The fact that the cat filter was on, if it's an automatic setting, okay, I'll give you 10 seconds of that. But how do you not realize, oh, hell, the cat filter's on? It was just not okay. Not at all okay. Let's see if we can play it here.
Wow.
No, it's just a screen grab. But yeah, two people murdered and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police leaving the cat filter on. Good job. Meanwhile, in far more egregious things, Rand Paul. Let's talk Rand Paul for a moment. There was a bill in the Senate that was written by Kirsten Gillibrand, who's a senator from New York. She's running for president. And it would fast-track the request for the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. Now, Rand Paul says the price tag is too high, and he blocked because this had to pass unanimously. He's balking at the $10 billion price tag for the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. The Kentucky Republican derailed the request last Wednesday by Senator Kirsten Gillibrand to fast-track a bill that would permanently fund compensation for the sick and dying 9/11 responders and their victims because the cost was too high. He added, "We're adding debt at about $1 trillion a year. Any new spending we're approaching, any new program that's just going to have the longevity of 70, 80 years should be offset by cutting spending that's less valuable. And we need to at very least have this debate." Now, the $10.2 billion measure passed the House last week with an overwhelming vote of 402 to 12. It did not have any provisions to offset the cost, the fact that some lawmakers there noted, although it was not enough reason for them to oppose the bill. Gillibrand's request would have sent the bill directly to the president, ending nearly 18 years of uncertainty for people who rushed to the devastation of Ground Zero or lived and worked among the dust and smoke. Gillibrand said, "I'm deeply disappointed," pointing the vote in the House and the 74 senators who backed the bill. "Enough of the political game," she said. "Our 9/11 first responders and the entire nation are watching to see if this body actually cares. Do we care about the men and women who answered the call of duty when our country was attacked?" Now, while Paul's objection is unlikely to kill the bill, numerous responders and advocates who have been pushing for the legislation told the Daily News that Senator Mitch McConnell, who's the leader, and the senior senator from Kentucky, is solidly behind the bill, saying, "It's my understanding that Senator McConnell and his staff are working hard to get the House passed bill to the floor as quickly as he can." Basically, the bill would have fast-tracked it for a vote in the full Senate.
Yeah.
And he said, no, we can't have that.
So, and it's, man, these motherfuckers.
It doesn't matter what some people want to do. It's like, oh yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that with that. Hold on. 9/11 victims? That's going to cost too much.
So I have been as John Stewart has been the spokesperson for the 9/11 victims pretty much since, mm-hmm. or the 9/11 survivor first responders. I've been on this pretty much like that. Because every year it's 9/11, don't forget. And every year I ask, well, you motherfuckers forgot.
Right.
The first responders. Like, these people are still alive and still suffering from this.
You forgot the people who ran toward the most, and at the time, no one knew what was going on. No. And these people ran toward the attack.
Yeah.
And you're saying, oh, well, that's going to be too much.
Well, the fact that there hasn't been a bill that would fund it. That this is a new thing, isn't a new thing that they've had to fight every year since 9/11.
Every year through two Bush terms, two Obama terms, and half of a Trump term.
Yeah. So they've had to fight for this every year. And it's fucking the Republicans have been the ones who've been holding the shit up the whole time. But they're the ones who always cry fucking patriot.
Yeah.
Yep. But when you actually need to take care of the people who actually will, are willing to die for us, you're the motherfuckers who are always holding up the money for it.
Well, that's going to cost money. Yeah. We're not just printing money here. Oh, wait. Yeah, you are.
Yeah. You can give a fucking tax cut to people who don't need a tax cut, but you can't fund fucking first responders and the military. Veterans, military people after they get out of the military.
Right.
Because you'll throw fucking money away at them. You'll give military shit that they don't even want to spend money on the military, but you won't want to fucking take care of the people when they get back or get out of the military, and you don't want to take care of these people. Like I said, and then you claim patriot. I'm a patriot. Like, no, fuck you and your little rallies and your cry of I'm more American than you because you're a different color than I am. No, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm more American than you because I believe in America first.
Yeah. No, you don't believe in your people.
Yeah. It's a lot of actions not matching the words.
And then Rand Paul's one of those fucking Ayn Rand motherfuckers that read Ayn Rand and think that they're in some kind of utopia. Like, no, bastard, you have to pay for all the shit that you use that we pay for with our taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a piece of work, all right. Meanwhile, speaking of a piece of work, in Georgia, a lawmaker there named Erica Thomas says she was told to go back where you came from while she was shopping. She's a Georgia state representative of District 39, said she was verbally assaulted in a grocery store by a white man. The man in question denies making the comment. So it's a she said, he said situation. She took to Facebook Live.
So you know what I decided to go live because I'm very upset. Because people are getting really out of control with this white privilege stuff. I'm at the grocery store and I'm in the 10 aisle, the aisle that says 10 items or less. Yes, I have 15 items.
Whoa.
I'm 9 months pregnant and I can't stand up for long.
Hold on. I was on her side until she told me she tried to go through the 10 items or less line with 15 items. Not like 11 or 12.
No.
15.
Did you hear what he said?
Look.
Did you hear?
Hold on. Let's start by saying there's no one blameless in this whole thing.
Did you hear what he said? There were three empty lines.
Look.
There were three.
I'm just, why didn't she go to an empty line with her 15-item scream?
Why did he go to go to another line with his two items?
And it hurt me so bad. I'm sorry, y'all, because everything in me wanted to just tell him who I am and how I don't. But I couldn't get anything out. I could just tell him, please leave me alone, please. And my child is just sitting right there. He said, Mama, why would he call you that? Why would he do that? I can't even explain to her.
That you don't get into the 10 items or less line with 15 items? Come on, lady.
No, this is my issue with it is that she's crying about the shit.
You know what I decided?
You know what she decided?
I decided to go live.
And cry.
Because I'm very upset. Because people are getting really out of control with this.
I'm obviously joking.
I know.
Just for the record.
White privilege stuff. I'm at the grocery store.
Okay.
And I'm in the 10 aisle, the aisle that says 10 items or less.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I have 15 items, but I'm 9 months pregnant and I can't stand up for long. And this white man comes up to me and says, You lazy son of a bitch. He says, you lazy son of a bitch. You need to go back where you came from. And he says that, I said, sir, you don't even know me. I'm not lazy. I'm not much pregnant. He says, you're ignorant. You're ignorant. And I'm not ignorant. And it hurt me so bad. I'm sorry, y'all, because.
Okay. Look,
this is the part. That's the part that pisses me off right there. I'm like, fuck you.
She gave him the power.
Yeah. I'm like, fuck you, dude.
Because there was a way to go on and give that same message. Now, she is 9 months pregnant, so I'm sure there's a lot going into it that we don't know about. But this fellow is Eric Sparks, and he says she's lying.
In one of the empty lanes, items on the conveyor. Okay, I walked up to the two customer service associates from Publix. Asked them what can be done in a nice manner. They said, corporate policy, we can't do anything, but you as a customer can say something. I took a step outside the store, thought about it, turned around, walked up to Miss Thomas and said, ma'am, not to be rude, my exact first words, pointing at the sign, which shows it on the surveillance camera, which I've seen already, pointing at the sign, 10 items or less, she berates me after that. I don't remember exactly what she said, but on camera she approached me, came towards me as I took a couple steps back.
Wait. You walked out of the store,
mm-hmm.
and you came back in the store.
Uh-huh.
Where she approached you.
Well, here's the other thing. So I'm going to tell you there's no one victimless. So you remember her crying jag about how she's 9 months pregnant and she can't stand for long? You know what she's doing right now in this video? She's standing there watching him talk to the news camera.
Yes.
So clearly, she can stand long enough for that.
She is pregnant woman crazy.
So, look, whether he said what she claimed he said or not, clearly, he said some shit that was not okay. And he went outside to think about it and came back in and said, yeah. I'm going to say some shit.
Yeah. It was very white of him.
And he's wearing a Miami Marlins shirt. So clearly he has very little taste.
What can you explain? What is it with white people where they have to get into other people's business like that?
Look, it's a long thing going back in white people history where we need to settle your hash. Because the world doesn't make sense unless we can make things right. In our head. Oh, there's another video where she's wearing a shirt with this happened that says blessed mama on it. Here's where she is yelling. Hold on.
Made me feel yesterday. If you know how you made back my daughter feel.
Back off before I call the police.
Call the police right now. And if you know how you made me feel yesterday.
Oh, he's the whitest person ever. Oh, I'm going to call the police.
Back off or I'm going to call the police. She's 9 months pregnant, dude. Why are you standing in front of, why are you talking to the news cameras?
He's like that little short guy that had that rant last week.
Oh yeah. The bagel king?
The bagel gate. Yeah. He looks like that guy.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's more.
Back where you came from?
Do you feel bad about yesterday?
Did I say that?
Why are you serious? So you didn't say
that? Did I say
it? What did you say to me then?
Is it on video?
What did you say to me?
I called you a lazy
That's the worst thing I said.
By the way, she's clearly very pregnant. Why would you say that to a pregnant woman? Or really?
That you don't know.
Right.
And the only thing she's doing is in the line that's 15 items left. And you already said that the other three lines were empty.
Okay, the first thing you need to do, look, if you really want to do the whitest thing ever, without being a ridiculous racist, you just look at her and go, oh, come on. And then you walk away, shaking your head, just shaking your head and mumble. Got to mumble too. Can't believe this shit.
Yeah.
As you walk over to one of the other places. Oh, what is wrong with people?
And then you should be surprised when somebody hits you in your mouth.
Well, he will be when it happens, as it may or may not. Speaking of people showing up places, Donald Trump showed up at a wedding. Well, it's a MAGA wedding and not the MAGA wedding we talked about last week. There was another one, and he kissed the bride.
Of course he did.
He made a surprise appearance at a wedding that had a theme, Make America Great Again. It went down last Saturday at Trump National Golf Club, Bedminster, in Bedminster, New Jersey. And there was no doubt about it. There were chants, USA, 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 and Trump, Trump, Trump. I'm not playing the video. You see the president kiss the bride and wave hello to the crowd that was cheering him on at various points during the evening. Various people from the wedding party wore MAGA hats and even posed with Trump. He is so desperate.
I hope he gave the wife herpes in the mouth.
He is so desperate to have people like him. Sorry. He is so desperate to have people like him.
Yeah.
I mean, the grin he has on his face being in the middle of this situation where, first of all, he's getting a wedding there. I'm going to guess about 70 grand.
Yeah.
At least. And that's not counting the rooms.
Yeah.
For this wedding. So he's making a pile of money. And not to, and then you've got all of the Make America Great Again hats. He's making a pile of money off of that. So he's making a pile of money off of people who just adore him.
Yeah.
And he looks like the happiest dickweed on the face of the earth. I mean, look at that smile. He doesn't get that when he's talking to reporters.
No.
That does not happen. The couple got engaged 2 years ago at the same national golf course. Nicole Marie actually sent Trump multiple invites to this wedding, including a booklet that showcased encounters she had with him, including rallies and Trump parties. And there were flags in the reception hall that said Trump 2020. Okay. I mean, it's your money. Do what you want with it.
Yeah, she wanted some attention.
Yeah. Do whatever you want with the money. It's fine. It's what you got to do.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Alrighty. Headline, Florida woman goes all Trump after groping. See how they tied them all in together?
Yeah.
After grabbing the buttocks of a fellow female passenger on a sightseeing cruise,
okay,
a Florida woman told the victim's husband, quote, you should go back to the country where you came from, end quote. That was when he confronted her about the groping, according to a police report, during a trip on Friday afternoon on the Anclote River, which flows into the Gulf of Mexico. Lisa Ann Madison allegedly got handsy with a fellow traveler. Madison, who's 58, appeared intoxicated, according to several witnesses, on the Spongerama cruise boat. Police allege that Madison twice grabbed the victim's buttocks and declared, oh, it's curved and nice, and I would do you. She then pawed the woman in front of the victim's six-year-old daughter.
Oh, wow.
Then the victim's husband asked her to stop. She replied, you should go back to the country you came from. The affidavit does not identify the man's race or nationality. After the Tarpon Springs police arrested her for misdemeanor battery, Madison denied grabbing the victim's buttocks, saying she didn't remember anything and she doesn't know why she was arrested.
Wow.
When she was asked about her comment to the husband, she reportedly admitted telling the man to return to the country you came from. So that she's not embarrassed about.
It's like the guy, oh, the worst thing I called you was a lazy black bitch.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. She lives with her husband, by the way, in Port Richey, a Tampa suburb. She was released from the county jail early Saturday morning after posting $500 bond. Her husband has to be proud.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And we have a follow-up in Florida Corner. A man who denied owning the cocaine that police found ringing his nose has copped to multiple felony narcotics charges in a plea deal that spares him prison time. In the circuit court appearance Wednesday, Fabricio Jimenez, who's 20, pleaded guilty to possession of cocaine, marijuana, and Xanax pills. He was arrested on the drug counts last month, following a 3:15 a.m. traffic stop in Tampa. He also pleaded guilty to violating terms of a probation sentence he got last year after a conviction for possession of cocaine and pot. In a plea deal, Jimenez was sentenced to an additional 18 months of probation and ordered to perform 50 hours of community service and pay fines and court costs totaling about $600. Locked up since his June 9th collar, he was released from the county jail late Wednesday evening. Now, the felonies to which he pleaded guilty each carry a maximum five-year prison term. During the traffic stop that resulted in his arrest, a cop immediately noticed Jimenez had a white powdery substance on his nose she recognized to be powder cocaine. We talked about that on the show when it happened. They did the field test. It was cocaine.
hey, wipe after snorting.
And cops put out a photo of him with the cocaine around his nose. So
wipe after snorting.
Yeah. So that's Florida Corner for now. Want to remind everybody to help support the show and hit that shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com. Doesn't cost you anything extra and it helps support the show. Also, there's the shop Target tab. Now, I want to explain the shop Target tab because I used it earlier today.
Okay.
So if you do that, it takes you to Target.com. Now, if you want to use the fancy lanes where you drive up and pick your stuff up, you have to order through the app. But what you can do is put the stuff in your cart on Target.com after you click through and then sign into the app and pay for them.
Ah.
And that's where you can set up, oh, I want it brought out to me in my car.
Gotcha.
So that's how you do that. That's how you work around that. If you're thinking, oh, it's just the website, how do I do it? If you do the website, you do have to walk in and get it. But it's waiting right there for you. It's super easy. You've already paid for it. Basically, you walk in, go, here I am, and hand it to you, you walk out.
Oh, cool.
So that's still pretty easy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had the baby with me today, so I was just like, nope, we're going to go ahead and just do the drive-through.
I do a similar thing with the Shop Nate Darling tab. Like, I'll look for stuff on my phone or my iPad for Amazon.
Right.
And put it in the cart, and then I go to the NateDarlingShow.com or the WTHpod.com.
Yeah. The same thing. They go to the same place.
And pay for my stuff that way.
Yeah.
So that way money comes back to us.
Yes. Little bits. It's not a lot. It's little bits. Little bits. Like, real little bit. Like 4%.
Yeah,
4% is one of the generous commissions. So we ain't getting rich. We're just keeping the podcast going. So, speaking of drugs, it's not just here; it's all over the world. Cops say a Colombian drug smuggler, had cocaine hidden under his towering toupee. Maybe that's what's going on. Trump.
Wow.
Spanish police last month arrested a Colombian man who allegedly had half a kilo of cocaine stashed under his toupee when he arrived in Barcelona on a flight from Colombia. The accused, yes?
A half a key?
Well, look at that. Look at how high that toupee is riding.
Wow.
The accused mule caught the attention of investigators due to the towering nature of the wig sitting on top of his head. A subsequent search of the suspect yielded the cocaine, which was inside a plastic bag glued to his head. Glued. We're looking at his mugshots on the smoking gun right now. Cops say that the accused mule, who was not identified, arrived June 18th in Barcelona on a hot flight from Bogota. Which they described as incoming plane from a narcotics producing country.
Glued to the top of your head. That's hot.
Yeah. Police said the ingenuity of drug traffickers has no limit when trying to circumvent the controls. They glued it to his head and put a wig on top of it. That's not a lot of ingenuity. I've heard of a lot of different things described as ingenuity. This is not one of them. This is something that the little rascals would come up with a way to smuggle something.
Have you ever watched the Griselda Blanco story?
No.
So she would have women where she would sew cocaine into their underwear.
Okay.
So they would have like a camisole and they would like be like cocaine sewed into that.
Okay, yeah.
And so that's where they started.
That's ingenuity. That's ingenuity. Hiding it under your toupee, not.
And then I started watching this other show about one of the assassins from the cartels. And so they would hide it under like yams and stuff that were being shipped over to the United States.
Right.
So they would put those like at the bottom and then put like mud and dirt and all that shit on top of them and then ship it that way.
Yep. There's a lot of ingenuity out there, and under the toupee is not really one of them. Yeah, no.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with a little trip to the Eat Beat. Marilyn Haggerty. By the way, Marilyn is 93 years young, Kareem.
Wow.
93 and still writing all the time for the Grand Forks Herald. The Eat Beat head to Forest River's Tom's Lounge for a friendly, homey experience. The article begins, the salad arrived with a little packet of Kraft Ranch dressing and another of croutons to sprinkle over the lettuce. There were seven of us gathered at one of the round tables in Tom's Lounge in Forest River. That's a hop, skip, and jump north to up north to Manvel, then further north on Highway 81 and 5 miles west on County Road 19. People who live in the area have no problem finding the little town of Forest River, which bills itself as the home of the outdoor Bonspiel.
Bonspiel? What the hell is Bonspiel?
I don't know, but that's the home of the outdoor one. With Susie Shaft and Donna Gillig of Grand Forks, I gathered around a table with Forest River friends Margaret Woods, Kay Nord, and Lynn Kosabek, along with a Bunny Paterka of Velsleyville. It's quite a gaggle. There was a hum in the ceiling fan in the background. She notices everything. Regular customers of Tom's Lounge recommend the once-a-month Friday evening prime rib special at $23. We were pleased with that choice. The serving was so large that we ended up taking half of it home for lunch the next day. Of course you did. You're a bunch of old ladies. That's what old ladies do.
Exactly.
Take half of it home. Our server was Dorothy Moreland, who works as a bartender during the day. She said Helk uses the couple grills out behind the lounge year-round. On Wednesdays, Tom's brings in customers from a wide area for Mexican fare. There are tacos, tostadas, nachos, and burritos. A combination plate for $10.50 includes a side of beans and rice. Woo-hoo. On summer evenings, the drive from Grand Forks is spectacular. There's the green of the crops and the blue of the vast sky with puffy cumulus clouds floating over the North Dakota flatlands. There are beautiful country homes. There are customers who come regularly from nearby towns. Some are summer visitors who make up for some of the regular customers who spend time at area lakes. Ken Huta, who is finishing up his walleye and hash brown potatoes, said he drives up from Northwood regularly. So to wrap it up, it's Tom's Lounge in Forest River, North Dakota. You can call them at 701-248-3216. They're open from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. daily. So they're open 3 hours? All right. And the report card, which, as always, is not a report card. The ribeye steak is excellent. The service is friendly, homey, and efficient. The decor is pleasantly cluttered. Restroom facilities are adequate.
Just adequate.
That means it was hard to pull the toilet paper. You know the ones where you go in there and you're like, you pull it off and it just rips off after two squares. And you're like, damn it.
God damn it.
That's adequate. Just adequate. I thought they had prime rib. Did you talk about ribeye? Is prime rib the same as ribeye?
No.
I didn't think so. I don't know what's going on anymore. I do know that we've reached the end of this episode of the WTH podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Kareem.
Thank you, Nate.
And thank you, Jason, for calling in. We will be checking in for his grievance on Monday's episode. But we have another one between here and there. So we'll see you on Friday with another new show. Until then, you take care of yourself.